stand for this.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Meetings Act, copy of that act is on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning the agenda for today's meeting, I'd like to announce a procedure that will be used for this meeting with respect to each agenda item. Directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. With that, quorum call, please.
Bedry?
Here.
Bonnet?
Here.
Bradley?
Here.
Conley?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
Butler?
Here.
Jack?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
Satinsky?
Here.
Deezer?
Yeah, here. Sorry about that.
Here.
Item 4 is adopted agenda. Before we go there, I want to add item 8D, the Natural Resource Commission report by Director Bradley. So with that addition, motion to approve the agenda.
I move to adopt it for a second.
Cool. Thank you. Roll call.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sikorsky?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bedry?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. And 5, the motion to adopt the consent agenda.
To move.
Second.
Second.
What second? Roll call, please.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sikorsky?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bedry?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Item 6, I have here proof publication that this meeting was duly authorized in the World Herald. Moving on to item 8, agency reports, Natural Resource Conservation Service Report. Andy Bonenkamp, is he here today? There he is.
Good afternoon.
Hello. I walked by. I didn't recognize him. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Just got 3 items today for the NRCS report. Going to cover field office operations update, mostly due to COVID. Kind of a staffing update with just kind of one change, and then going to quickly cover our new EQIP allocation, which is a draft allocation for fiscal year 2022. So our current state of field office operations within the NRD, with the uptick in COVID cases and the daily COVID case rate is what we kind of refer to it as. Based on our COVID dashboard, there's three phases that we operate out of. At the 75% staffing rate, if a county in our NRD is at 5 cases per 10,000 residents per day, we can staff our field offices at 75% capacity. That's if we can allow for social distancing within the office. And then we go to 50% staffing. That's at 5 to 10 cases per 10,000 residents a day. And then down to 25% occupancy at 10 cases or above per 10,000 residents per day. So where are we at with respect to the NRD field offices? On Monday, Blair jumped to the 25% occupancy. So that allows me to permit 2 employees within the office, granted that I can, as a minimum, that granted that we can ensure physical and social distancing. So right now, we, as of Monday, we went ahead and had to go on a telework schedule for, you know, pretty much everybody. So we've got roughly 2 to 3 people in the office. It's a unique situation in Blair because we've got several private offices where we can have employees in their private office with their door shut. I've also got field staff that come and go, so they can come in for 15 minutes, grab their stuff, and go to the field. So we've been doing a pretty good job of balancing that along with the telework option with our USDA employees. So so we've been doing good there in Blair. We were doing really good throughout the week until Wednesday, yesterday. All the other offices were at 75%, and then Burt County, which is Tecama, and Dakota County, which is Dakota City, jumped to 25% on Wednesday. So I had to go ahead and have my USDA staff on a telework schedule there. So right now, Thurston County, which is Walt Hill, is at the 50% staffing rate. So, and we are abiding by that there. That's okay. Along with the 25% occupancy, though, it kicks us to having no visitors. So we can no longer have visitors in the office. And that won't change until we get back to the 50% category. So once cases start going back the other way to 5 to 10 per 10,000 residents in the county, we can then start to kind of get back to normal, I guess, if you want to say. So I just want to cover that with you. Our offices are used to doing this now, our staff. So we're getting really good at still maintaining a really good level of service, despite the fact that much of the USDA staff is remote or telework. So your guess is as good as mine when we get back to doing things you know, the normal way. We're still projected to return to work in a normal capacity. By that I mean having all staff back to the office sometime in March. March 14th was our deadline or our shoot for date. So as far as I know right now, that is still kind of the plan. So we'll see what happens on that front. Staffing updates. I've been given the opportunity to add one more USDA staff member. I chose the Tecama Field Office. We are without a soil conservation technician. So I've been able to submit that position for the Tecama Field Office. That would bring me up to 3 USDA staff members in that office, along with the 2 NRD staff members. So that's a great little bit of news, and I'm hoping that kind of follows through. So there's projections and kind of some rumors out there that I'll just share that we're looking at adding even more staff. So we might be given the opportunity to add more staff throughout the NRD, which would be an excellent thing for us. EQIP allocation. So our EQIP program, which really is our bread and butter program, our trademark, our flagship, where we do a lot of our conservation work, on the ground conservation work. Last year we were funded at, we were given an initial allocation, at $295,383. We ended up with around $650,000 with all of the overflow money that we got, some of the state initiatives we took advantage of. One being the tribal initiative, which we're going to try to take more advantage of. There's $100,000 sitting at the state level that we get for the tribal initiative. And so we're going to try to funnel more applications that way. But this year, for fiscal year 2022, we're about $5,500 less than our last year's allocation. So around $289,937 for our initial allocation. There's just more state initiatives, more national initiatives. So the dollars we get nationally just get filtered out, and we get a little bit less. In funneling more money towards some of the other state initiatives, I think we can overcome that little deficit and end up with still a pretty good chunk of federal dollars for our NRD. So that's all I have for a report. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
All right, any questions?
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Item B, Nebraska Association of Resource District, Dr. Rich Cheeser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The NARD will be having their annual legislative conference in Lincoln on January 26th and 27th. I'm very pleased to see that we have all the directors attending, with the exception of Bagley and McCormick, and the staff will have General Winkler and Paul Woodward and Gene Tate. So that's a nice group, and very pleased that we will see that type of group attending. My understanding is the reception and the dinner will be a goal unless something drastic happens with COVID in the next, you know, week or so. But right now, everything's on schedule, so that would conclude my report.
Okay. Thank you. Item C, Legislative Report, Catalyst Public Affairs. I saw Tim Gay here. Is he coming? There he is.
Here, I'm going to walk in front of everybody. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Tim Gay with Catalyst Public Affairs. Today, short session of legislature. Today is day 7 of 60-day session, so things are going pretty quickly already. There's first 10 days are when you can introduce bills. Some of these bills, we handed this out, and John also sent this to you electronically, and also a copy of the legislative schedule. So you can see there's recess days and other things, but it goes generally through April 20th is the very last day. So in those first short few days, there's already been about 360 bills introduced on top of the 700 last year, so you can only imagine, which are still alive because none of them got killed hardly. They either passed or they're still hanging out there. So we're watching those. The way we do this, we look at all the bills that are being introduced, take a glance at them, look for keywords, you know, flooding, natural resource districts, different things that might catch our attention, and then start flagging those bills. So we still have a lot to probably put on this list. These are just a few that we caught, and there will be more. I think there's going to be some caps on spending for governmental entities like there was last year. So that debate will be going on. I think we've got to watch that. There's some open meetings legislation, as you can see on here. And just some are good, some are bad, whatever. We just haven't had a chance to look at everything yet, but how it would impact it. We talked then with General Manager Winkler on a lot of these bills pretty much every day or every other day on different things going on. So keep an eye on that. But I'd say a lot of times, you know, I think they're over ambitious with all these bills being put in, what would actually pass and what wouldn't. Because you've got all that ARPA money flowing around that they've got to distribute. So a lot of those bills are dealing with that money and how to get that money. So that'll take a lot of time. There's some taxes, a bunch of extra revenue that I think they're going to look at the taxes and do some kind of tax cut. I don't know what that would look like. And anyway, all these packages have to get together. There's some other issues out there that would take some time, too, school funding and there's some child welfare issues. There are other big issues out there. So, and then I know you've been reading about the lake and other things. You know, that's one of those things we pay attention, but it's been pretty much undercover until last week or this week. I guess they had their press conference and laying it out. So I probably know about as much as you, unfortunately, on that and what we read in the paper. There'll be a public hearing on it, and go listen to those. So the governor today came out and he gave his state of the state / budget request. So he just put in his budget today at 10 a.m. about 11 by the time it hit. So we're looking through that to see where the water projects and water funding and all the different money he wants to spend. That's just his recommendation, of course. Legislature can do whatever they want with the money. So appropriations committee members are going to be very popular people this year. So, but anyway, that's what's going on right now. I would say on this report too, kind of see John did have some meetings. We have Justin Wayne, Senator Kavanaugh, and Senator DeBoer, some of the others we've talked about earlier in the summer. We talked about we wanted to meet with most every senator in your district. I think we probably got at least three quarters done, don't you think, John? So had a good chance to just meet with them, remind them what the entity does, what we do, what's unique about you compared to others, so on and so forth. I think since then we told you about John to testify at the public hearing and got great kudos on that. Actually, he was one of the best presenters and gave the most information, so he got an A, I guess, for that. but no, it's very helpful, and then we'll be talking to the people, trying to narrow it down. I'd just be guessing if you asked me what's going to pass and what isn't. I don't know. It's very, very murky, so I don't have a very good crystal ball. But with that, we'll be back next month. Oh, I do have one thing, too. A little change that you should know. We did Jim Grotran, who's been with us. Jim was kind of on board. He has a farm and stuff, too. He's back to farming. He wanted to farm and do some other stuff. But I did hire a new employee that I think would be very beneficial to you as well. So it's myself, Caitlin Reese, McCartney Martin, who writes the newsletters that we hope you all can get and see. It's a daily news. Here's what's going on in politics and public policy. And that's about it. And then we have a weekly update. It's a good thing to scan and kind of say, this interests me or this doesn't. But if you're not on there, let us know, and we can get you that directly, too. I know John sends some of those out, too. And I know Director Teaser is good. We always use him to spell check our newsletters and keep it up. that's going good. But what I wanted to get to, we did hire somebody. Melissa Fike is her name. And Melissa has 14 years of experience with the legislative process. She was a legislative aide, a committee clerk, a staff committee clerk, or a staff committee analyst, I guess. And she worked for Senator Ken Shills. Well, Ken Shills was the chairman of the Natural Resources Committee for 4 years, and she was his legislative aide. So that's good. And then she left there and worked for the last 7 years for Governor Ricketts in the executive branch, handling different committees and stuff. So she's very, very well versed on drafting bills and with the process. So anyway, if you see an email floating around from a Melissa from our office, that's also good help. So we have David Brock, me, McCartney, Melissa, and Caitlin all kind of keeping eyes and ears out for you in the legislature. So, but anyway, short and sweet, that's what I've got. If there's any questions, I can try to answer them. Last day for bill introduction is Thursday. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was wondering, I guess, LB 806, Bosselman, change provisions relating to drainage of land by landowner. Is that a reaction to the out in western Nebraska, some of all that sand that drained into that river that had one of the best trout fisheries in the state?
I don't know exactly what he did. That's one I could follow up, Director Bradley, on what that is.
Okay.
I think I know.
Right? Oh, John.
Senator Bosselman's district is kind of Saunders County. I think this is in relation to the stormwater that coming out of the city of Lincoln. Lincoln for Ashland flooding. So. It could be ag land, it could be urban land. There's not enough detail to really know what it is yet, but I think that's...
We could check with them go from there. And then I know on 805, that Hughes bill, it does have a hearing quick. I got a meeting with him on Thursday, but I'll stop in his office on Tuesday. I'll work with John with your concerns on that because... That's an agriculture. They only meet once a week. I'm surprised it got to agriculture, not natural resources, but hey, whatever. So it's an ag committee, so we'll find out what that is, talk about that a little more, Director.
Thank you.
Have you heard anything yet about, is anyone talking or introducing any bills to deal with Spencer Dam or the water rights up there?
I have not seen anything directly related to that, but in the governor's handout today, his ARPA request, we're breaking it up into here's what he wants for the water, here's what he wants for COVID, here's what he wants for whatever. But I'll kind of try to keep an eye out for it, but I haven't seen one that just – are you talking about rebuilding it? Yeah, I have not seen anything like that or heard anything about that. This canal thing, I don't know what's going to happen with that either, but, you know, the he wants to get a new canal from Colorado. So, but if I hear some, there's, like I say, there's still till Thursday to introduce a bill. So I wouldn't say we're right on all of them right now. We're probably have glanced at 80%. Haven't looked at today's, but so I couldn't tell if there have been 5 or 50 introduced today.
Director Jep?
I just had a quick question regarding that a potential large reservoir along the Platte River. What agency would be behind that? In other words, who would be responsible for developing it, overseeing it, and maintaining it, and so forth? Or is that completely unknown?
Really unknown. And John, do you got any idea on that?
No, I think they haven't figured that out yet. If it's not a state agency, my suspicion would be it would have to be something that's formed like a MECA or some other authority that would oversee the area. I don't think like the city of Gretna or Sarpy County or any jurisdiction would have the wherewithal to do that on their own. It would kind of be a multi. It'd have to be something created or DNR would be tasked with it. That'd be significant to give a state agency that
yet task. To be determined.
Yeah, there is no clear. I'm just guessing what that might be.
Yeah, Director, I do know one thing. So they'll be introducing that bill. Maybe it got put in today. Like I say, I haven't seen. So I'm sure they're waiting for the governor to give his, hey, I love this idea kind of thing. And out of courtesy, you're going to put the bill in later on the Star Wars committee.
Right.
So I don't know on that. It'll have to be in the bill, though. I bet the bill's probably this thick. Maybe not. Maybe it's just.
I didn't know if there's any NRD input on this thing or not. We don't know it. We just don't know anything about it.
We haven't been asked.
No, okay. That thing has been, I got to say, it's been very well kept amongst their group. It was at the engineers for a long time, and even in December we were asking questions and didn't get anything. So, but they will have to have a hearing on it, and then we will. I mean, we'll follow it for you. But when they have the hearing, I'm sure that will be in there. There'll be, assume, a lot of testifiers. And sometimes they just work those things out after they have the hearing. It's like, oh, that's not a bad idea either. So it's, unfortunately, it's like watch the sausage being made on that one.
All right.
So
thank you.
Stay tuned.
That's a good metaphor. I have a question on, I think it was LR23, the legislative report on the purpose of the NRDs. I was invited down to Lincoln on December, and John Winkler testified. Unfortunately, I was not able to say anything, but I wanted to say a bunch. But Erdman, in his, I saw a communication now, I discovered a lot about the NRDs, but I don't know the timing of that particular letter that he put in a blog. Any feedback on what he might be dreaming about? Because John did a great job testifying. The other two testifiers kind of put the reality out there of what we do. And I don't know what the guy's problem is, but it was full of misinformation.
There's two things they could do. They could write a report. They could just say thanks for coming and appreciate the information. And or a lot of times, quite honestly, they have these legislative resolutions that are put in to appease somebody, and they never have a hearing or even do anything.
Okay.
It just looks like they're doing something. But on that particular one that he had the hearing, I didn't see a written report yet, and I don't know if there will be, especially now the legislature's going. So speculation. I think it was just one of those things to
deal with. All right. Any other comments? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
All right, item D, Natural Resource Commission, Larry Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did not attend that meeting on December. I can't remember the exact date, but it was the exact day that there was a big derecho and multiple tornadoes in the state of Nebraska. So, but a week before, I would have gone to Kearney to the meeting. I did receive an official letter that the project that the Papua Missouri NRD applied for did not make the cut. So just wanted to pass that on. And two out of the 3 years I've been going down there, we've received some funding, but this year did not. So
which project, or maybe Paul or John,
It's WP4. It was one of our reservoir projects. Although we did receive some money for the small grant part, but not for the reservoir project we submitted.
Okay.
Thank you. My report.
Is there another meeting coming up in the spring sometime?
Yes.
Moving on to item 9, public hearing on acquisition real property for dam site 12. I call that hearing to order at 4:25 and turn it over to the hearing officer, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The hearing for dam site 12 project, evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice is attached in part of the record. Explanation and purpose of the hearing, I turn it over to Brent Meyer. Brent.
Thank you, General Manager Winkler. Brent Meyer with the law firm Hush Blackwell. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statutes Section 25-2504. At this hearing, the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District will explain the nature and necessity of the Papio Dam Site 12 project and the reasons for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition. The proposed land acquisition is from a willing seller. However, he or she has the right to require that such damages be determined pursuant to the procedures for acquisition by eminent domain. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objection from any person. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Agenda item 5 is the identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is proof of publication of the hearing notice in the Omaha World Herald on January 3rd and January 6th of 2022. Exhibit 3 is the preliminary site map of Papio Dam Site 12 project. Exhibit 4 is a map of land acquisition area for Papio Dam Site 12. Agenda item 6, explanation of the purpose and scope of the project. Lori Lasker.
Good evening. The Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District is proposing Papio Dam Site 12, which is generally located at 216th Street and 4th Street in Omaha. The purpose of this project is to provide public flood control and recreation for the Papillion Creek watershed in the Omaha metropolitan area of eastern Nebraska. The Dam Site 12 project includes a earthen embankment right here, a realignment of 216th Street, the reservoir with a trail and two potential access areas for recreation, and three water quality basins, one here, and one here. This is 4th Street right here. For this project, it is necessary to acquire property for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the regional flood control dam and reservoir. The district proposes to acquire fee simple title to and or permanent and temporary easements in, on, over, and across lands required for the Dam Site 12 project. The district is currently looking to acquire approximately 20 acres right in this area for this project. The reservoir has a drainage area of 2.6 square miles, and the normal pool surface area is anticipated to be approximately 43 acres. Dam Site 12 will be a public lake with public access. There will be a recreation element associated with the project. At this time, in-lake fisheries, kayak, canoe access, boat access, a trail, and two picnic areas are planned.
Thank you, Lori. Agenda item 7 is received testimony and statements. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide any statements or testimony in this public hearing? Second opportunity. Okay. They're going to talk on another item further in the agenda on Dam Site 12, so I wasn't for this particular issue. Is there second time? Is there anyone on this particular property? Okay. For third and final time, is there anyone ready to testify? Okay. Seeing none, agenda item 8 is reception of the exhibits, and agenda item 9 is hearing and adjournment at 4:29.
Okay. Moving on to item 10, public hearing on acquisition of real property for Dam Site 7. I here call the meeting to order at, hearing to order at 4:30 p.m. I'm John Winkler as the hearing officer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 3 is evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice, which is part of the public record. Agenda item 4 is explanation of the purpose of the hearing. Brent Meyer.
Hello again. This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute Section 25-2504. At this hearing, the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District will explain the nature and necessity of the Papio Dam Site 7 project and the reasons for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition. The proposed land acquisition is from a willing seller. However, he or she has the right to require that such damages be determined pursuant to the procedures of eminent domain. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objection from any person. Thank you.
Thank you, Brent. Agenda item 5 is identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is proof of publication of hearing notice in the Omaha World Herald, January 3rd, January 6th, 2022. Exhibit 3 is a preliminary site map of the Papio Dam Site 7 project. Exhibit 4 is a map of land acquisition area for Papio Dam Site 7. Agenda item 6 is the explanation and purpose of the scope of the project. Amanda Grant.
Hello. Thanks. The Papio Missouri River Natural Resource District is proposing the construction of Papio Dam Site 7, which is generally located at 168th and Bennington Road in Douglas County, Nebraska. The purpose of the project is to provide public flood control and recreation for the Papillion Creek watershed in the Omaha metropolitan area of eastern Nebraska. This location was chosen to maximize the controlled drainage area in the watershed. For this project, it's necessary to acquire property for the construction, operation, and maintenance of the regional flood control dam and reservoir. We have the map up on the screen. This is north this way, and this public hearing in particular is for a smaller piece right in here. It's just 5.5 acres. It was not included in the previous public hearing that we had because we were unaware that this seller was interested in their property. Since they've been working with the developer, it's incorporated into this area to the north that we have already held a public hearing on. So we're just including the public hearing for this small piece right now. So the district is proposing to acquire fee simple title to and or permanent and temporary easements in, on, over, and across lands required for the Dam Site 7 project. The district's currently anticipating the acquisition of 5.5 acres of this property for the project. Dam Site 7 would be a public lake with public access. There will be a recreation element associated with the project, and it's envisioned at a minimum that there would be a trail around the reservoir, restroom facilities, picnic shelters, and in-lake fishery for fish habitat.
Thank you, Amanda. Agenda item 7 is received testimony and statements. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide testimony or statements on the public hearing at hand? Second request, is there anyone in the public who would like to provide any statements or testimony? Third and final time, seeing none. Agenda item 8 is reception of the exhibits. And agenda item 9 is hearing adjournment at 4:34 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Acres of water are we talking there?
Seven. Dam Site 7. Amanda, what's the acres of the... we'll get it for you real quick. I don't know off the top of my head, Rich. We'll find out real quick.
Thank you. Subcommittee reports A, PLPA, Director Kevin Spencer.
Thank you, Chairman Thompson. Agenda item 11A, be it resolved that the minutes of the January 11th, 2022 meeting of the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee are accepted. Incorporated in these minutes and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 11A1, District Affirmative Action Policy for 2022. Recommendation that the Papio Missouri River NRD's Affirmative Action Policy for 2022 be adopted and incorporated into the district policy manual, and I so move.
Any public comments on this item? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Tommy?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Gatt?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sipinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bedry?
Aye.
Simon?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Chip?
Yes.
Thank you, Director Sipinski. Moving on to item 11B, Programs Project Operations, Director FedCom.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the January 11, 2022 meeting of the Programs Projects and Operations Subcommittee are accepted and incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 11B1, Presentation of Lower Platte River Basin Water Management Plan Update. Project Manager Paul Woodard and John Engel, HDR, give an update of the Lower Platte River Basin Management Plan. No action was taken by the subcommittee. 11B2, Little Papio Inundation Mapping. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with USGS to complete the Little Papio Flood Inundation Mapping with a total district cost of $69,500, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Public comments on that? Director Jeff.
I had a question on that. Are there upcoming FEMA maps with floodplain mapping also coming up? Or?
Yes, we do anticipate having new maps for the Missouri River and the Papio watershed in Douglas and Sarpy counties. The preliminary maps are due out in February, and it's about a two-year process before they become effective.
And what will they show compared to this?
They're going to be based on the same data. But so the FEMA maps only show the 100-year flood and the 500-year flood. Those are the only two floods that are published on those maps. This will show anything from half an inch of rain up to the highest stage on the inundation mapper.
And where did they get their information? From FEMA, or how did they?
Unclear
about that the other day.
So the models were developed actually by FIRA Engineering and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And so FIRA did the what we call the hydrology, or how much rain falls. They developed the models using data that's published by NOAA and the Weather Service it's a statistical analysis. And then the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers developed the original hydraulic model, which shows us how high the water is going to get in the channels. And so they developed that model, and they started with that probably around 2010. And then it was passed on to FEMA's contractor, Stantec, to complete.
You mentioned it'll show how much will affect the floodplain, or?
So it's based on what we call a rating curve at the gauge. And so what the what they do with that is when the gauge, whatever depths the gauge can read, they'll do it, I think they do it by about 1/10 of a foot or 1/2 foot increments. The gauge height we expect would be this for this much rain. This is what it's going to look like. And it just goes up and up and up. So it's the same model, just broken down into much smaller increments.
Okay, thanks.
Any other comments? I have a comment. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, I talked about the project cost. And in the reference here, it talks about the Coordination Administration, $12,500. Hydraulic modeling doesn't cost anything. Flood layer development. Publication, $34,500. Do you know what publication is and why it would take 200 hours?
I believe that's the time that it takes them, once they have all of the data developed, to actually get it into the system and working, and it'll be the testing and the it's not like a piece of paper or anything. It's the time it takes them to get the data to the website and functional.
Um,
Okay. Do you have any ideas? The same person, or is it the team at USGS?
That I would have to ask them.
I'd like to know, because this is all labor hours, I assume, of the USGS employees.
Correct.
It's a nice breakdown. It's a start, but how they come up with their hours and their dollars that we're paying for. I've just got questions about it. I don't know if it'll affect the vote, but I'll leave you at that. Any other comments?
Director Timothy. I'd ask Tuesday for maybe some data or metrics. Would you be able to find anything?
I have not heard from Kellen, but I will follow up with him on that.
As far as revising the model, how frequently?
We would not revise the model unless a major project was undertaken. So that would be something like a reservoir or a flood wall or channel project that would greatly affect. So we don't anticipate that this would be updated in at least 5 to 10 years.
And this is no correlation to the new core maps?
It's the same model. So they use the same model to do the maps, and then also they incorporate that model into the inundation mapping. So the core map is just, here's the floodplain, here's the floodway. This takes that a step further, breaks it down to say, if I live in the floodway and it rains 3 feet, how much is that going to affect my business or my home? That gives me the tool to say, okay, if it rains 24 inches or 12 inches, I need to either get all my stuff elevated, or I need to pack up my dog and kids and leave because I'm going to have this much in my. So that's what it's a public tool to say, hey, because the floodway map doesn't tell you anything. It just says, I'm in the floodway, I'm in the floodplain. This actually gives you an idea of what the damage will be, what the level will be. So they use the exact same information.
So it's the same information for both?
Yes, the same
maps
model.
The core and this model?
Yes.
And so I was approached by a constituent that was very concerned with maybe a preliminary look at the new maps, and their recently constructed building is now in the floodway, even though it was just time. I don't think it's been up 3 years. So I don't know if that's bad data. I think that's what they're investigating now.
Yeah, so there's going to be a lot of
we have bad data. Yeah, I love this tool. I just hopefully we have good data.
There's going to be a lot of those. We've answered a lot of questions already from certain areas of Papillion. I think we had one today from Mayor Black and some constituents there. You know, they've got some preliminary information, and like Lori said, it's going to take 2 years to kind of work through that public comments. And if people have other information, we were working with a party in Bellevue who kind of did their own. Had their own modeling done that was different then, and so that's we've submitted that to the FEMA consultant to say, hey, were you overly conservative? So there's going to be a lot of that going on over that 2 year period.
And at that time, wouldn't that merit a revision of this model?
So the difference between that is most of these are most of the appeals that we're seeing are on the floodway analysis, which is separate from this. The inundation modeling doesn't take into account the floodway. The floodway is a boundary that was kind of a compromise of saying, well, we're not going to exclude building from the entire floodplain, but we're going to find a line where we could allow some development. And so that modeling gets a little bit, that's usually where the appeals and the protests come in, is because of a bridge routine or grading was updated prior to the development of the model. Most of those cases are going to be kind of in a centralized area that wouldn't necessarily affect the entire model of the Papio watershed.
So, Tim, your friend's building that's in the – it doesn't matter with the inundation mapping if it's in the floodway or in the or not – if it gets a certain rain event, that's going to be the impact on their facility.
My point is, if the data is bad, you know, if they truly are in the floodway, then the data would be good. But yeah. Hopefully the brand new building is not now in the floodway.
Yeah, we hope not either.
Thank you. That's all I had.
Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I understood that sometimes people can, you know, their houses, their neighborhood, it wasn't in a floodplain before. And then they get a knock on the door and there's a FEMA person with a clipboard and tells them, well, now you are in a floodplain and you have, you know, insurance or what have you. It's because of many times it's the development upstream. And that development, the explosion of development upstream that can, you know, create these, you know, flood events. And I guess, you know, maybe this is another tool we can have to tease out the, you know, the data and to substantiate, to confirm or maybe deny but the models. But I think it's a good tool to have. Thank you.
Any other comments, directors? One final comment. I'm doing some calculations here on the project cost. There's four items in the justification of the $100,000. It ranges from $125 per hour to $157 per hour to $172 per hour for these government employees. I know I've been out of the government, federal government for quite a while, but I can't believe these people are making anywhere from $260,000 to $357,000 per hour or per year. And
sorry about that. I'm sure it's right.
Tell me when you're done. Hope it's not long distance. Oh, there's a
hit it on the table once.
Come on.
Anyways,
know who's buying.
So anyways, it's clear that we're paying a lot of overhead for this government agency. And I'm okay with the concept, like Director Bradley talked about, it's probably a good tool. I'm just hung up on the cost. And it's not justified who's doing what. It varies as to what's going on for that amount of money. And obviously you don't have it with you because those people aren't here today to ask questions. I wish I'd asked them Tuesday, but I didn't. So
okay.
I personally find it hard to pass that much more money back to the federal government. Any more comments? Roll call.
Yes.
Power?
Yes.
Jack?
No.
Foreman?
Yes.
Sedensky?
No.
Keyser?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
No.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Ed Jefferson?
No.
You want to announce the vote on it?
Seven yes and yes.
Six and five.
Thank you very much. Item 11B3, WP4 contract amendment with HDR Inc. Recommendation of the general manager be authorized to execute amendment number 2 with HDR Engineering Inc. for professional engineering services for modifications to the final design of the WP4 project in an amount not to exceed $68,972, bringing the total contract amount to $3,547,608, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Thank you. Okay, any comments from the general public? Staff, directors, roll call.
Butler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
Market?
Yes.
Spinsky?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes. Fred, before we move on.
Okay.
Back to item 2. You said 7-3. I counted 5 no votes.
I had 7-4.
It was 7.
I had 6.
Revote
that?
No.
What? It was
Director Kevin,
Director
Ted,
McCormick, Director Japp, Director Sapinski, and Director Thompson were all no.
No.
The rest were yes.
McCormick was yes.
Yeah.
McCormick was yes.
Yes.
You vote no?
Sorry.
I was yay.
Oh, I thought you.
I didn't realize there was any support.
It was Spassky, Director Jab, Bonnet.
Oh, Bonnet, yeah.
And Thompson.
Yeah.
So 7-4.
She said that, then that's what I counted. What did you vote?
You voted no?
Well, it was Bonnet, Thompson, Sapensky.
Can we revisit the question, or can we recount the vote?
It passed 7-4.
4.
I hear whispering. I didn't hear definitive.
I said I would check the recording.
Okay. It still passed. It's just a matter of...
The minutes will reflect the correct vote.
Pardon?
The minutes will reflect the
correct vote. I'm sure it was 7-4. That's how I counted it.
We'll correct it next month.
Okay. I'm for go ahead.
Okay. 11B4, Papio PL566 site, S6 easement vacation for the WP2 project. Recommendations that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed release of easement for the Papio PL566 S6 structure, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. I so move.
Any public comments?
Staff.
Directors.
Roll call.
Yes.
Norman? Yes.
Kinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
And Jefferson?
Yes.
That completes my report.
Thank you. 11C FEL, Director Rich Teaser.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved, the minutes of the January 11th, 2022 meeting of the FDL subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated into these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 1. Douglas County Buyout Purchase Agreement, Kathy Sorensen, recommendation that the GM be authorized to execute the purchase agreement providing for the purchase of the district from Kathy Sorensen for the property located at 24509 Laurel Avenue, Valley, Nebraska, for the purchase price of $110,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and to approval of the form by district legal counsel. I so move.
Any public comments on that one? Yeah. Directors? Roll call.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sadutsky?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Beckley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And Jefferson?
Yes.
Item 2, Washington County Buyout Purchase Agreement, Murray Property, recommendation that the GM be authorized to execute a purchase agreement for the purchase by the district from Robert M. Murray, Revocable Living Trust, and Sandra L. Murray, Revocable Living Trust, the property located at 450 North 2nd Street, Arlington, Nebraska, for purchase price of $65,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Thank you. Any public comments? Staff, directors, roll call on item 2.
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bradley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
And
yes.
Item 3, land acquisition for dam site 12, recommendation that the GM be authorized to execute a purchase agreement providing for the purchase by the district from Wasanda 216 Fort LLC, Track 5, for the dam site 12 project for the purchase price of $3,882,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and approval of the form by the district legal counsel, and I so move.
Public comments. I believe there was someone wanting to. On the other way up.
Yeah, they're coming.
Yeah. Please identify your name and address for the record, please.
Drew Snyder, 8770 North 180th Street, Bennington, Nebraska. Just happy to answer any questions. We worked with John and his staff to solidify this purchase agreement. We've been working in good faith for quite some time on this. And, again, I'm just happy to open it up to any questions if there's any, make myself available. But just a note in regards to pricing, We did spend some time with staff. We have an appraisal that supports the price. This is the price we are acquiring the ground for. So we've gone through, I think, extensive discussions in that regard. So anyway, with that, I don't know if Stephanie, if you want to mention anything, but...
Stephanie Wilson, 1797 County Road 6, U10, for the land purchase, or the land, what am I on now? What am I now? The seller, I guess. We visited with you guys back in June, and I just appreciate getting to this point. I think it's going to be a wonderful project. And also, we've had several other developers because that area is now kind of a hot area for new development that have approached us. So I hope that you guys strongly purchase the property, because if not, it will go to a developer and be developed. So I think it'd be a great project. So that's all I have.
Okay. Any other comments from the public?
Yeah.
Director?
I have a concern with the pricing. I would just like to make a motion to lay this matter over for a second appraisal and information gathering.
Okay. A motion to lay it over for second appraisal and more information. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
It's second by Fowler.
If the board wants to discuss this further, I recommend going into executive session.
Okay. Based on legal advice, I'd like to hear a motion to
motion to go into executive session.
Second. Discuss the property acquisition. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call on the motion to go into executive session.
Deezer?
Yes.
Bentley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Bumley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Kapinski?
Yes.
And
Jerkwitz? Yes. Folks, we're done with the executive session. I'd like to hear a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Second. Roll call.
Bentley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
And
Jerkwitz? Yes.
Okay, the motion on the floor now is an amendment to the original motion for the purchase of this land to lay it over and get a second appraisal and some other information. And it's been moved and seconded.
There hasn't been an opportunity for public comment
on that motion.
On that motion, yeah. We went straight into executive session, so we didn't open the floor for public comment or director.
Sure.
Okay. Is there any public comment on the motion to get a second appraisal and to gather more information? I see a gentleman coming up there. And again, sorry you have to repeat yourself, but name and address, please.
Drew Snyder, 8770 North 180th Street, Bennington, Nebraska. As far as commenting on getting a second appraisal, if the board decides that's the best course of action, that's completely fine. I will caution you, our company's very active on the land development side. There are some very high pending contracts that I'm somewhat aware of that could push pricing even higher in the event of a second appraisal. Can't be confirmed of that. Our appraisal was done by Valuation Services, which my understanding is an acceptable appraisal firm to the NRD and the board. Additionally, we've worked with John and his staff. There's a need for the way our contract is written, for either a temporary or a permanent road, which will be entirely funded by us. We're not seeking any reimbursement from the NRD. And so there's definitely consideration in my mind for that. Which we're comfortable doing, moving forward with, to install that. I think the NRD, upon construction of the dam site, had a temporary access road which I don't have the site plan in front of me, but I don't think that will probably be necessary to construct in order to get access to the dam structure. So John may be able to confirm that. But so there's some additional consideration that our project will be doing that hopefully in theory would save the NRD some money upon construction of the dam site. So again, I'm happy to answer any questions. We've gone through this fairly extensively with staff, and but would be happy to answer any questions. So,
okay. Director Tim McCormick has a question.
Sure.
I understand that if we don't have another contract completed, that we have $250,000 for that road. That was part of the original motion.
Right. That would be the permanent road.
Yeah.
So under the proposed purchase agreement, if we're not able to acquire the property to the southeast, we would give them a temporary access through the property, and then there would be a $250,000 contribution when that permanent road was constructed through the, I believe it's the Moore property, but that is under the proposed purchase agreement, yeah.
Correct.
I'm not sure how that saves us money, but that's...
Good question over here. Go. Thank you. Any other public comments?
Did the lady want to make test? Does she want to testify?
I don't know. Is Stephanie still here?
She's still here.
I see her. And she said it. She's fine.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. She said she's fine.
Okay.
Any other comments? The comments from staff. Any comments from directors? Director Burnett?
Just a question of priorities here. And I think we had a comment over there in the corner. If we jettison this and this project, obviously there might be some flooding potential there in the future, but there's only so much money to go around. How does this project stack up to our other 419 and other projects in Sarpy County?
So the 2, 4, and 1 are in our current 5-year plan, and so those will be moving into construction in the summer. So it's most likely, and the partnership will get together to vote on the next priorities, but I believe 12, 19, and 7 will probably be in the next 5-year plan. So this one will be prioritized in the next round after we complete the 3 that we're working on right now. So 12 is one of our 6 priority structures we identified a number of years ago because of the development pressure that was coming. So
I'm not hearing number 10 in there.
That's
really getting 10 in place is really dependent for all the midtown.
Yeah. So dam site 10 is not a priority structure because it at the time it wasn't being developed. So we're working with the Corps of Engineers in that the reevaluation study. So that would be if they agree to assist, then that would have federal funding, 65% federal funding to do that project. So it's kind of in its own separate category right now.
Yeah. So originally, 12.
I think your question is general in scope. If we sway too far from what's on the table,
I agree.
But right. Go ahead.
So originally 12 would have been after 19 in the next. So we've got 1, 2, and 4. Then it would have been 19, and then it would have been 12. But again, with the core study, 19 is included there.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be able to move this one up. I would say they're both 19 and 12 are both equally important. 19 is the only one we have on South Papio, and 12 is the largest one we have in the West Papio. So they're both very important projects. And with the core study, we are able to move 12 forward to be our next priority project as long as the partnership approves that.
Okay. Any other comments on the motion?
Sorry.
Having none. Roll call on the motion to amend the to get a second appraisal and delay.
Bonnet?
No.
Bradley?
No.
Conley?
No.
Davidson?
No.
Fowler?
No.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sabinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Begley?
No.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
I have an account. What is your account?
I have 5 yes and 6 no.
All right, so the motion fails. Back to the original proposal, which if we have to read it again, but it's basically by the 50 acres, that 75 grand an acre. Everyone understand that? Okay.
50 for the road.
And whatever, and the incidentals in the purchase agreement. Okay, roll call on the original.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
No.
McCormick?
No.
Sapinski?
No.
Teaser?
No.
Begley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
And Chairperson?
Yes. I lost track because I think Teaser voted wrong. But it's your vote.
So thanks so
much. He's hard of hearing like I am. What's the roll call? Or what was it?
Paddle.
What happened there? I couldn't hear it.
And by the way, these masks, be careful, those who wear hearing aids. I don't want to lose another one on.
Yeah.
I've been taking it on and off. Anyway, so moving on. Thank you. Who was that? That was you?
That's the truth of my report.
Okay.
Item 12, Treasurer's Report, Director Tim Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think items A through H, all-inclusive, and be it further resolved that the items become part of the permanent record. I so move.
Second.
Seconded by Fred Connolly. Any public comment, or Director
Bradley.
Any public comments on Treasurer's Report? Public comments?
No, not public.
Staff? Director?
There, that one. I had recently had a little bit of work done on some farm property I own, and so that's part of the treasury report, a little bit of money paid out to me. So because of that, I'll be abstaining from the vote, just to let you know.
Roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Butler?
Yes.
Jack?
Abstain.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
Item 13, legal update. Anything to add?
No legal update.
All right. Come on. Something. 14, Chairman's Report. Marvin J. Peterman on the agenda. I want to give this opportunity for anyone from the public and staff and directors to talk about where Marlin used to sit. Under ordinary circumstances, that's about where he would routinely sit for, well, when did we move into this building? However long it's been, Marlin legal and so on. It might have been a little bit up further, but anyways. I won't go into too much detail on the tragedy, how it affects me. I've got some further comments when we get a chance to speak. But we all know what happened, why it happened. I'll leave that to Reverend Teaser to explain the more godly things behind it and the spiritual things. But you don't have to tell us tonight. But the Rev certainly has a better outlook on that. But I wanted to give this chance to say a few words. And I'll start with asking public comment on Marlin J. Peterman. And if there's any public people out there who'd like to say a few words, come on forward. And is there any public left?
No.
All right. Then I traditionally go to staff. Staff, you're welcome to say some words about your experiences with Marlin and what he meant to you as an employee. And you don't have to. Don't feel any pressure. But if you have any comments to the board about Marlin Peterman, let us know.
and you probably all felt and talked about it around the water cooler, and that's fine. Directors, any comments from directors? Director Sapinski.
I'll try. I wrote Marlon's wife a letter. When my dad passed away 2 years ago, three or four guys that he had sponsored in AA came up to the family and said, because your dad did what he did, I'm still here. I'm alive. If you go back 28 years, my father gave up drinking in 91 or 92. I can't remember exactly. And Marlon was one of his main sponsors. So I like to think that Marlon saved my dad's life, or at least extended it for 27, 28, 29 years. So there you have it.
Here's a man that had some issues, and he looked him straight on, and he took care of it, and he became a better person for it. And I respect him so much for that, the fact that he resolved the problems he had, and it became an institution here at the NRD. As far as I'm concerned, we would talk for hours on about the Platte River, the Elkhorn River, and flooding and how to fix it or how to stop it or whatever. But very knowledgeable, a great gentleman, and it was a pleasure to work with. I will dearly miss him.
Sure was.
Yeah. I was going to make a comment about John and the staff here. And I Tuesday night, I sat down and then I saw the chair, and I got to tell you, I was kind of choking up all Tuesday night. Caught me off guard there. But, you know, some people leave because they got a lot of money or a big charisma or personality. And other people sometimes leave because they just are good at bringing people together. And Tuesday night and tonight, we finally approved the, not finally, but Tuesday we talked about the EEO manual here, the policy manual, and I asked the question if we have how many complaints we've had, and my understanding is zero. And we've never had a sexual harassment claim or a LGBT claim or anything like that. And it's just a testament to good leadership in an organization and a mature staff that affords each other a great deal of respect. And a lot of that has to do with just a couple of personalities in every organization, and Marlon was one of them, just a quiet guy. And when I first met him in 2012, he generously gave me his personal time. We drove all six counties, looked at just about every structure, including the overlook and everything else, and he had something to say about the history and the and it was about the people involved. You know, who put the bridge together? Who put the overlook together? How it all unfolded? And he had that institutional knowledge. And I know he shared it well with the staff. He shared it with us, to, you know, as directors to represent the public. And I just wanted to say, I recognize that the staff has really lost a cornerstone here. And I'm feeling for you guys. And I'm looking forward to see who's able to step into his shoes, because I know you all do a fine job, and we'll carry on in Marlon's role very well here. So I'm looking forward to that.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I got on in 2019 in February when the flood hit, and listened to the wisdom, as I do tonight in every meeting, I do a lot of listening. And when I think of Marlon, I think of institution, and I think of knowledge, and I think of loyalty and dedication. And Chairman Thompson, when I was, you know, rolling into the board in February 19 and this little tiny flood hit, and Jim was talking about, you were driving, I can't remember where it was, and you look out and you go, there's 100-something years of experience right there at that bridge. They were looking at the flooding.
Three people.
And Marlon was obviously one of them. When I think of Marlon, besides the things I described, you think of people in government, right? And you can argue the politics of government, but when you think of Marlon, at least when I do, I think of good government, a good public servant, and a guy, as Patrick said, he's got tremendous shoes that'll be hard to fill, and he'll be deeply missed, but I always will remember
his wisdom and his he had a little bit of charm to him in a good soft voice, but when he spoke, it was very clear. So I'll miss him. And I know this NRD, everybody in the room, my heart goes out to you guys. I knew him a lot more than I did, but I always had a great deal of respect for him, and I know he'll be missed.
Right, Phil?
So in 2019, that little flood that you were talking about, I'm working at City Hall in Bellevue that day, and we get a phone call, and it says the water's starting to come into Hayworth Park. It's starting to come in across by the railroad tracks. So we all hurry down there, and we get there and see what's going on. And what do we see? We see the 70-year-old guy down on the railroad tracks with sandbags, personally sandbagging that area of Zane. So not only did he... You know, he was dedicated. He had all the knowledge in the world. He was not afraid to get his hands dirty and help out. Martin will be greatly missed in the community of Bellevue. We leaned on him a lot. So hats off to Marlon. Cheers for Marlon. You know, definitely will be missed. So thank you for all you've done.
Yep.
I worked with Marlon in probably 1988. Did the Papio Channel from Center Street to L Street, the big Papio, and the structure under the interstate and the structure under the UP railroad. And it was my first big core engineer's job. And Marlon, he was like my spirit guide. He kept me out of the weeds. He was a great man.
One final memory for me, it stands out. I thought about this the other night. It's like, what really stood up for me with Marlon? Spirit guide, wonderful term to use there. One of our Washington trips, going into D.C. every so often, once a year at least, I took everybody up to Arlington National Cemetery to visit my family that are buried there, and he never forgot that. And years later, I wasn't in D.C., he called me and said, hey, I just want to let you know I just visited your dad. He's doing well. We had a good conversation. He was such a kind and gentle soul. And that's what I remember about him. And he always had a guiding hand.
Yeah, I'm sure you all know where you were when you heard the news. For me, I was down in Austin, Texas, and just looking on the World Herald on my phone, and I saw the story on the Omaha World Herald, and I think it was Christmas Eve, or you know, real close, and it just blew me away. And I had this exclamation, and everybody in the other rooms are like, "What happened?" And I just couldn't believe it. And just you know, hugged my grandkid, you know, just a little more tighter. And just Marlon, yeah, everybody said what needed to be said, but the calm demeanor, voice, and when we would go up to Cramper's farm and on the way up there for the beans and the chicken and all that, and we'd drive on the way up there with other NRD members in the van, and he, boy, the wealth of knowledge, and they'd talk about this project and that project and just keep going and zigzagging all the way up 75, and that experience and knowledge, and just soak it in, and the elder there, just always will, you know, dear to us, and I will always remember Marlon.
Okay. Well, I've been on quite a while, and Marlon always provided the direction, I'm sure, to John and other staff members with regards to what has happened historically in the district. But I guess I recall my only conversation with Marlon about something other than the district had to do with his volunteer work in the community, and he apparently put in long hours on some projects in the community, and I think that's just as valuable as to what he provided to the district, quite honestly. All right.
John Winkler has prepared a resolution for the state legislature to vote on, and you all got that email. I trust you read it.
Up until it's finalized yet.
Yeah.
And then I'll send it to everybody.
And that's what else can you do, right? But hopefully we'll get through the system. What else you can do? For years, I think I've talked individually with most of you that let me backpedal a little bit. 3 years ago or whatever, we passed a resolution. We're going to name now currently Flanagan Lake after Dr. Susan LaFleche Picotte. And the city had the naming rights. They chose to name it Flanagan Lake. Well, I haven't forgotten that. I think our board voted unanimously for that resolution. Since then, okay, I, and for the most part, I think, we haven't voted on it yet, but I still want to honor Dr. Susan Lofesh-Picott with naming one of our lakes. Subsequent to that discussion, you brought up Cramper Lake. We named up at Danish Alps Cramper Lake. And I was so proud to allow that to happen while Vince Cramper was still alive. You know, we passed that when we used to meet at South Sioux City. And to honor the gentleman for all he had done to name Cramper Lake up there in Dakota County, it gave me a thrill. So in the last couple of years, I said, well, which lake are we going to name after Marlin? And it's still a live question, but I'll tell you what happened at his visitation. Tim Fowler and I carpooled out and say, first time I ever met Marlin's wife or any of the family. Other than his grandkids, we go to ball games and see his grandkids and all that. But that exposure to the family and what he did as an individual to the family, I cannot begin to express. And I wish I had a transcript of what his son read at the message of the funeral. And a few of you were there, and it's like, wow. You know, first of all, the guy published a couple of books, so his writing ability was fantastic. But and he put it in the perspective of what he did for the state of Nebraska and us as a Papio for 48 years. And it's, you know, wow, you know, just wow. But in the receiving line of the visitation, one of them, the sons, he had three sons and a daughter. They said, well, when you name that lake, and I turned to Tim, I said, what, cat's out of the bag? Who told him we were going to name a lake after him? Because I didn't. It's kept a, you know, an internal, I've never made that public. But I've talked periodically with you folks. So now that I'm talking publicly, it is my desire to name one of our future dam sites Marlin Peterman Lake. And don't ask me which one yet. That's up to further discussion. I've got two names I want to use, Picard and Marlin Peterman, when we do one or the other, further discussion down the road. But I think, and I hope my fellow directors are on board with honoring his memory with a Marlin J. Peterman Lake and whatever else goes along with that down the road. But I wanted to make that public because some family member read my mind or something during the visitation. So it's probably the least we can do to honor his memory forever. Staff, I got a message for you as well. Our dependence as directors was, hey, Marlin, or email, hey, Marlin, and notwithstanding John, of course, because I always include them both. You've got a challenge ahead of you, staff. Someone said tough shoes to fill. The knowledge that Marlin had, which is now, it's gone, except for all the documents he kept in his office, which are quite a few. But challenge for staff is something that in our organization, having been here over 20 years, along with some of the old-timers, you're going to have more work ahead of you. There's no question about it. You've already had more work than you thought you would have come that fateful phone call and email. I have full confidence in this staff. That's one thing, even with Marlin and his ability, and like Danny said, you know, between him and Martin Cleveland and Bill Warren, 120 years of service, how can you beat that, you know? So we're not starting from scratch by any means, but I have full confidence that staff can step up the plate like they're going to have to do, and we're going to have to do as directors. John Winkler still has a lot of work to do, especially now with the legislators in session and their dependence on our general manager for the knowledge that we have up in the PAP, an example we set. You know, the Star Wars committee and all these other things. John's obviously been busy and going to be busier
until we fill the position. But I just you know, pass this on to staff that's not here to continue Marlin and what he did. You're going to have to dig a little deeper. There's no question about it. For example, I sent an email off to Eric Williams and John today about the Beltline Trail. And Eric came back to this map here that you can find the answer. And I knew that. But Eric was there, and I depended on him. With Marlin not there, I can't send the email off. I'm going to have to find the answer, even as a director. Staff, it's going to be multiplied, of course, for what you have ahead of you. And good luck. You've got our support. Marlin will hold a special place in SNRD, as Tim Fowler mentioned, off to D.C. in the same. And, yeah, we've been going up to D.C. now and then for, 20 years in our jurisdiction on the board, duration on the board. And then the Lincoln Conference coming up, there's been a lot of turnover with the system. But, you know, the general managers and assistant general managers that have retired, they still come back. Well, Marlin's not going to come back. But, you know, his spirit's going to be there. We're going to hear a lot about that down there. And that's fine. We need to continue to do that. But we got a lot of work ahead of us, and I want to thank staff for. I know they'll step up, and we've still got a lot of work to do, and I appreciate that as a director. Any final words? I almost hate to move on, but we're going to move on to item 15, General Manager's Report.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rich, if Dam Site 7 is 43 acres, so Amanda. Dam Site 7 is 43 acres.
Thank you.
Yeah, so Amanda sent that email before she left, so just want to make sure you got that. Information, education highlights, you can read through those. Some personnel miscellaneous items. We'd like to announce Kalani Fortina is the new district program administrative specialist in the Blair office. She has taken over Darlene's position, who we had at the December meeting, who retired after 40 years. So we welcome Kalani in a new position, although she was working with us previously. Good news on the recycling front. So the NRD was again awarded several grants for tire recycling and e-waste collection in the northern district, or northern part of our district. And in addition, we partnered with Sarpy County, and we received an $83,000 tire recycling grant for Sarpy County.
Nice.
And so we're going to be busy with tires this fall. So
nice work, John.
Yeah, thanks. So the Sarpy hasn't done one in a long, I think it's been...
Never.
Okay, so there's probably a lot of buildup, so we're expecting a good output there. Also, if you look in your packet,
never?
Well, Bellevue's done a tire recycling. The Sarpy County has.
Yeah, Sarpy County, yeah. This is for countywide.
Yeah, countywide they haven't had one.
And Phil's volunteered, so we have some...
I'll be a great volunteer.
I'm no Marlin. I'm not going to go to the
I had Randy Lee put together a list of fundraising events and what those organizations generate by having events here at Chaco. And they're available to the public, and we help host them. They run the event, but you can see the amount of funds that they generate by having this public facility available for their charitable events. So I'm very proud of that we're providing an opportunity for people to have an event and earn money. Purchases on construction services, professional service, personal properties attached, as well as the current ongoing legal counsel. The watershed report, the last subcommittee meeting took place on the 17th of November. The next meeting is scheduled for January 27th. Just real quick, since I didn't say anything during the presentation because I had an opportunity to speak at the general manager's report, but I can speak not only on my behalf, but I think the behalf of the staff that Marlin will be tremendously missed here. And I think we expressed our feelings to the family individually and as a district, either personally speaking to them. I know some people sent cards and letters and things. And I continue to talk to Cynthia and her son about, some business things that need to be finished up. One thing I will say is that I didn't expect anything different, but this staff has really responded very professionally. And they've really stepped up, and they're filling any void we have or any need that we have. And I knew they would. It's not surprising, but it's worth mentioning. I'm very proud of them and what they've done. They've took a, you know, very traumatic situation, and they've turned it into an opportunity. And I think with change, there will be opportunity. I even noticed there's kind of a new vigor amongst the staff. Like I said, there's probably now some opportunities to maybe do things that maybe we didn't do in the past. I think we'll continue to do things the same. I think we'll continue to do things like we historically done, but I think there's some change coming too. I think there'll be some new processes, some new ideas and things that we'll have. So I think we can take advantage of that. But again, Marlon had a profound impact on me professionally, personally. He obviously was a friend over all those many years. So we will miss him, but we, unfortunately, the business end of what we do, and I talked to Gene about this, it's the business has to continue. The mission has to continue. You know, the day after it occurred, we were talking about administrative things like insurance and laptops and phones and vehicles, and just you didn't have that ability to really absorb what happened. And I think the staff has done a great job of compartmentalizing that, doing the job like they always do, and still honoring his memory and still honoring what he's done for the NRD. So very proud of them, and I look forward to, you know, obviously continuing to serve, and we appreciate all your support, and that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Question for John? Item 16, informational items. Monday's a holiday, and conference, see you all in Lincoln. And with that, item 17, we are adjourned.